and good. And this is Psych 101. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't listened to the show before, we're here to make psychology understandable, entertaining, enlightening, and hopefully informative. And there's been about 14 shows prior to this that are archived. You can pull them up at any time through iTunes on Psych 101. And we have it on various themes. Tonight is going to be on a more personal note. I am personally graduating from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology in downtown Los Angeles, and I have my co-students with me joining, and I'm very honored that they're here with me. We've been together on this journey now for a couple of years, and what a journey it's been. So, just a little bit of a background here on just this whole journey. I know sometimes we end up going through life and we don't quite know what we want to do when we grow up, even at my age. Anyways, it's never too late to figure out what you're passionate about and definitely dig in and go for it. Make the commitment to yourself for going for what you're passionate about. This is what we're here to talk about. We're also here to talk about where is psychology heading? Now, as young practitioners, we are, you know, we're just digging in right now. We've had some experiences so far. But if you would like to join us at any time for any questions or comments, please call us at 800-893-9562. Again, that's 800-893-9562. And I'd like to introduce you to my guest. I have Jasmine Ortiz.
Hello.
Hannah Cardona.
Hi there.
Sean Lewis.
Good evening, everybody.
And just walking in is Bray Mata. Welcome, Bray. She just came in last minute. That's great timing. I love it. So we're going to just make this on a more personal note this evening. And we're going to go through and just give our personal experiences and what led us to start doing psychology in the first place. So Hannah, would you like to start off?
Sure. Hi, I'm Hannah Cardona. Here in California, things are maybe a little bit different than in other parts of the country, wherever you are listening to right now. But I'd like to share a little bit about my experiences and what led me to psychology. Originally, I started out working in the school district system and supporting kids with autism in a school setting. And as I continued to support kids with autism, I ended up doing behavioral therapy in home with kids and families who are building skills and working through challenging behaviors. So something that began to connect with me, pardon me, was seeing these families experience the impact of a diagnosis in the family setting, and I found myself relating to them. And I found that I could relate to them in the fact that as a child, I had cancer, and I saw my family deal with the impact of a diagnosis and strive through that. And they grew through it, and I have a lot of respect for my family, for the public health system. And I wanted to continue to make an impact and benefit other families and children and help support them through their journey. So that's how I started my field. And as I transitioned through becoming a behavioral therapist, pardon me, and supervising in-home programs, I started to see more of the impact of parent education and started to see how supporting parents would actually support the whole family and the whole family system. So I, pardon me, I I chose this program because I wanted to support marriages and I wanted to support families and go beyond just the behavioral therapy setting, and here I am.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, Hannah. And also, I think it is fantastic that you took your experiences as being a cancer survivor and turned that into a strength that I'm sure multiple families are benefiting from right now. I think that's incredible. So thank you so much for pursuing this. You're going to be an excellent, excellent therapist.
Thank you.
So next, I would like to ask Jasmine the same question. What's your background? What brought you into psychology?
Oh, well, initially, growing up, I always loved reading books, psychology books. My mom always had them around, so I would pick it up and I would start to read them. And then I fell in love with the subject. I went in and got my bachelor's at the University of California, Riverside. And that's when I decided, yes, this is for me. And shortly after that, I decided to make a difference in people's lives. I said, you know, I want to make a difference in the world. I know life is short, and I became a behavior therapist. So I counted it. And I wanted to help others. And I noticed the power of therapy, you know, being able to help children and their families, you know, empowering them with tools, therapeutic tools that will help them grow as a unit. So I noticed that that was a very powerful thing I was doing. So I looked into the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, and I noticed that they had this great program for clinical psychology with a specialization in marriage and family therapy. And I saw it and I said, oh my God, what is that? So I decided to do some research, and I loved it, and now I'm here, and I'm very happy that I went this route. I'm very honored the people I've met there in the program, and you know, just overall very honored to have, you know, to be in this profession. So,
and we're happy to have you in there too. Definitely a light in our cohort. Jasmine has definitely provided some humor when we needed it in class. Because we can't do all of this totally seriously. You need to have humor when you're doing, you need to keep everything in perspective, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. So what leads you into doing behavioral therapy?
Well, honestly, they didn't know I could be a therapist with a bachelor's degree. So I had a friend who said, hey, Jasmine, you know, come over here. You know, there's positions opening, and I know you're a great person, a good communicator. So I applied, and I fell in love with it, just working with the children. And so, and I always loved children, and, you know, I just loved everyone. So I just felt like, you know, it was my calling. And once I was in it, I fell in love with it even more. I didn't know it was possible, but hey. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you're a natural at it, definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Sean.
We'd like to Julianne.
Hi, Sean. We'd like to have your experiences, too. You want to share?
Absolutely. Wow. I don't even know where to start, really. Honestly, psychology came to me through my family. And my first experiences with therapy and with psychology was through my family. When I was in high school, my parents went through a really ugly divorce. And I just saw it really stir up the emotions of not only my parents, but myself and my siblings. I have two older brothers, and I also have a twin sister. And I'm extremely close to everybody. And when my parents were going through divorce, it really rocked the foundation of not only our family structure, but it really led me on a huge road of self-discovery. And I spent majority of my undergrad years trying to find my purpose and my direction, and really gain a greater and more concrete knowledge of myself. Mm-hmm. And as I came to the realization of who I was as an individual, I realized that there were other people that were struggling with the same issues as myself. And from that came my desire to really touch people. So initially, I started really grassroots from just working alongside middle school students. Mm-hmm. And from there, I saw the brokenness of teenagers, and it really stuck to me. So ever since then, I really began to take it seriously. I found out about psychology after I graduated from one of my best friends, and she was going through the PsyD program at Antioch University at the time. And while she was doing that, I had started working in group homes. And as that was happening, I was seeing how my interactions with teenagers were definitely helping encourage and help point them to the right direction. And seeing the transitions and transformations that the kids had just stuck with me. And I've been really taking psychology seriously ever since. So,
I know you have. Sean's definitely one of the most soulful men that I have ever known. Seriously. And he's also an excellent musician and brings that soulfulness in with him to class and, you know, those lucky children that you get to work with. Because I can tell that you're passionate about what you do also. I mean, it's just incredible, you know? And bringing in your perspective on divorce also, just, you know, that brings real world experience into the picture. And I think for all of us, this is what is driving us. We've all been through some pretty harrowing stories in our lives, and we're turning this into a strength. So, you know, and I encourage all the listeners out there to do the same thing. Go find what you're passionate about and get the strength together and make the world a better place, because we definitely believe in it. Definitely. Miss Bray, hi.
Hi. Oh, hi.
Hi. So what's your experience has been, and what brought you into doing psychology as a profession?
Yeah. That's a really good question. I was working in the restaurant business for a long time in New York City, and as a manager for a period of time doing that, I realized I ended up being the manager people told their personal issues to, their problems, their, that customer over there is crazy, you know, that whole side of the restaurant business. I ended up being to the go-to person for those kind of personal interactions, and I found myself maneuvering with them through those interactions and with customers too. You know, you had your regulars and you got to know people, and I found that the restaurant business was actually more physically wearing on me, and I began to realize I couldn't do it forever, which is a hard thing to admit. But I couldn't do it forever. And so I realized that the things I did like from it was... Yes, the mic is closer now. And,
we're doing all these maneuvers here.
Yes. So, from having my own insight that I needed to leave the restaurant business, I realized that what I did like about it was the interactions with the people that I worked with and the customers, and I felt very connected to personal interaction, and also having my own therapist. She was great, and helped guide me in my life decisions, and I thought that it was something I'd like to try. So I applied to the Chicago School, wrote in an essay this interest of mine, and then they accepted me into their clinical psychology program with an emphasis in marriage and family therapy. And here we are 2 years later.
All graduating.
I know.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's just like a family moving out of the home and going on to college, except now we're starting a very long career. So.
Yeah.
We're not quite
exactly. Yeah, we had to move into the real world, damn it.
It's so surreal. It really is. Thinking about where we were when we first came in and seeing where we are now, it's so such a reality check just to see how much growth has taken place over the 2 years that we've been together. And I'm completely in awe of the people that you all have become, and even the rest of our cohort, you know, that's not here, just seeing how everybody is growing into incredible therapists is just, it's so exciting and encouraging, you know?
Exactly. That's beautifully put, Sean. I agree. And Bray, I just wanted to ask you real quick. Now, you moved across the country to be here, correct?
Yes. I left New York City to come to Los Angeles, California to start graduate school, which, totally crazy, wild thing to do. But I thought, if I'm going to actually do this graduate school thing, I need to be able to focus in a room by myself with books, you know? And I couldn't do that with all my friends in New York. So I thought, well, you know, everybody says LA is the other place to go. So there I went in the car with my dog.
Yeah, with her dog, Nacho. That's right. Everyone knows Nacho. Yeah, you should see Nacho at Christmas with his little outfit on. He's way cool.
I'm an embarrassment.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good. So, yeah, it is amazing. I agree with you, Sean. The way that we have all grown personally, I mean, it's been a maturing process.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Of incredible proportions.
Yeah.
Because now we had a little bit of a dinner before we got here, and I was talking to everybody about, you know, there have been things personally that I've had to face, and there was no way around it. I had to go through it. And doing this education, we have to be honest with ourselves. That's what makes the best therapist, because you know, and I know too, I've been in and out of therapy ever since I was little. And some of the therapists that I've been in the room with, I'm going, you're full of BS here. You are. You are just, we're probably getting out of session and you're reading your books about, okay, how can I best do the therapy? You know. Wow. That they are not genuine. They're there for the money. And I hate to say it, but there are some of those therapists out there. I think that we are all genuine people, because I've seen us all go through some pretty incredible situations over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And that's when you get to the true growth, is being honest with yourself, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
being honest.
Definitely.
And sharing with your clients, not being there for them once you're in therapy, and just being real with them, you know, creating the rapport and letting them know that you're there for them, and just opening up. I'm not saying that you're sharing your story with your clients, of course not.
Right.
But obviously, you know, truly caring for and being empathetic towards someone else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important, you know, as a therapeutic approach for healing, you know, as a method of growth and in every aspect.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Thank you, Jasmine. That's beautifully put. So all of us are from different cultures. I'd like to bring up that perspective here. How do you think that this enters in through your personal life and when you're doing therapy?
Yeah, that's a big one. I'll start.
Sure, Bray.
I am Mexican American, third generation American from Texas. And I mean, how do I sit in a room with someone from a completely different background and completely different age bracket and completely different set of religious, you know, rules? I don't really like that word, but. And then come into a room with them about their divorce or their alcohol abuse. You know, it's different. But I think it goes back to putting your cultural bias aside. Like what Jasmine said about just being empathetic and being in the room with them and being the ear that they maybe never had their whole life, or normalizing their difficulties for what they are and sitting with them in how perhaps their sorrow or their neuroses for a little bit, and seeing what that feels like, and then maneuvering through what the next step is for them or whatever they consider that next step to be. I maybe backed off of culture, but I guess I only did that to say that sometimes that's the, and you're hoping if your session's good enough, that's the second thing. Mm-hmm. That's the problem, you know, or the issue. It's not the, like, the, you know.
Am I doing the right thing?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think at this stage, we're all a little, you know, we're just getting our feet wet. We're little grasshoppers yet in the field. And, you know, we're just starting to spread our wings a little bit. So it's an interesting perspective. And I'm sure within 5 years, we'll look back at this and go, wow, I did this really good in this. I'm going, but it's all, it's all learning, right? It's all totally learning.
Yeah, one of my professors, I don't remember which one, said that your best session is the last session of your life.
Yes.
Like,
wow.
That's mm-hmm. the one where you've done everything you really wanted to do.
Yeah,
you
know? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Where everything fits in place in perfect timing.
Yeah.
And you can look across the person from you and go, oh, there goes a light bulb. Mm-hmm. I think what I said just kind of hit your subconscious somehow, and this is all good. Now, I hope you can take this. I hope you can remember this and take it home and do something with it, right?
Because
they always hate to.
Aha moment.
And you hope they don't hate to hear the word homework at the end of it, because they're like going, oh no, man. This is like, this reminds me of being in school and.
Yeah.
Homework. So, Jasmine, what is your perspective?
My perspective.
From
psychology.
From a cultural perspective.
Well, definitely. I am a Mexican. I have a Mexican American background, first generation here. And I say that because first generation is very different from second and third generation Mexican Americans. I am more tied to my roots. I'm more tied to the Mexican roots than I am the American. So being a first generation Mexican American therapist was a bit challenging in the beginning. And I say that because we have the whole Catholicism and, you know, very conservative background. So, you know, in therapy, you have to be more accepting and more open to certain things. And although I grew up here being an American, it certainly did help me. You know, the only thing is that the challenges were that I did have a lot of challenges with my parents in terms of, you know, I'm more open to gays and lesbians, and I'm more open to, you know, I'm not saying like sex out of marriage, but I'm more open to a lot of those things. So being in therapy and being able to provide that empathy towards a woman that has, you know, done abortion and anything like that, it was a bit challenging at first. But obviously, I've educated myself and I feel like education is key to understanding things and really just having an open mind and being accepting of things. And that's probably one of the key things that I had to do to grow as a therapist and as a person overall. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That's wonderful that you bring that up, because that is really important. And the education process is just opening up your mind to a whole bunch of different realities out there, because you don't know what's going to come into your therapy room. And you're right. It can be very challenging. Mm-hmm. Because you can't get shocked all of a sudden and then drop your jaw and go, oh, uh-huh, exactly. What am I going to do about that? I mean, because that's what most people get out in real life. That's why they come into therapy with us, is because they're getting those kind of reactions from their family or friends. And
because they don't feel understood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and or listened.
Exactly. And the key thing that I think that every therapist, a successful therapist, does is to actually really connect with your client or patient, to really be there for them and say, hey, I understand, and let me know how I can help you. So in all honesty, I think that just having an open mind and, you know, getting knowledge and really being accepting towards other people's lives, and it really has helped me grow as a therapist and as an individual, both dually.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. Because going through this, you know, definitely changes your mindset on life in general, period. Right. It's, I was really amazed, even at my age, at some of the opinions and biases I had come in with that I had challenged since I was a little girl, because my father was a very bigoted person, and I really had to challenge myself just even moving out to Los Angeles, because I was from Wisconsin, where it was very white. And, you know, just some of the challenges that my head still goes through, I'm going, whoa, okay, I, you know, that needs to be exercised from my brain, right? It doesn't fit reality now. You know, reality is so much bigger than a small little backyard in the middle of Wisconsin, right? And we all challenge our childhood minds, you know?
Sean. Relations.
Yeah, there you go. We'll get into Freud. Yes. Okay, Sean.
Yes.
Your cultural perspective, my dear.
Well, I am African American, and an even greater rarity in psychology is being an African American male. And the perspective that I've gotten from being in school has just been a huge reality check in realizing how necessary it is to have more black male therapists around. Jasmine can definitely identify with the reality that a lot of minorities, African American and Latino, both have social stigmas that follow when you think about the idea of opening up the household towards therapy. Mm-hmm. And usually we have these norms and these thoughts that we're not supposed to reach out if you say something about your family, or even if you just make yourself vulnerable to a professional, somebody of authority, that you're not only betraying the family structure, but you're overstepping the natural law of your relationship and of
religion.
The family, right? And
religion,
also,
yeah.
From a religious background, from if you're Catholic, you know, your main source of counsel is from the priest. And in the black church, you don't go to anybody else except to God, or to your pastor as well. So these are the social stigmas and perceptions of what's supposed to happen whenever you need help, be it as an individual or in the family structure. I think just being in the program alongside a couple of other black students has definitely helped me realize how necessary it is to be here. So I realize that as we've made it through the program, I'm not here by mistake. And I'm here not only for the minorities, for African Americans and Latino children and families, but I'm here to bring that rich background of a different perspective. And I think that it would definitely be invaluable to the field.
Definitely, and also to all black males, because you have the courage. And also another male that is in our cohort, Jarvis Sams, is also an African-American male.
Right.
And he just couldn't be here tonight. But, you know, I just honor both of you for pursuing this. It takes a lot of courage to start breaking molds and to start bringing these you know, what's almost like a secret society of having, is this just a family structure and stuff? And how do you break out of that? Well, you and everybody here, we're role models.
Yes.
Because we're helping to empower other people to break out of that cycle. Because we know so many times that coming from difficult family households, there's that natural tendency to want to just hide within that structure, even if it's not working. And there was something within all of our souls that said, no, this has got to stop. We've got to break these cycles, and we're going to do this. We're going to have the courage to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And as minorities, a lot of times we don't know that we can reach out to other mm-hmm. people, and that there are professionals that are willing to listen to us without passing judgment. So our presence here will definitely break that mold, and hopefully bring more awareness to the community about how to change our perceptions and really work on our insecurities and brokenness in order to grow, not only as an individual, but as a family.
Exactly. Exactly. And Hannah, your cultural perspective.
Well, as a young Anglo-American woman, I identify with the majority culture, and I think my perspective on multiculturalism in America today is I have this natural curiosity, and I get excited when I get a chance to talk to someone just personally or professionally who has a different life perspective, is from a different cultural background, because they have something rich and unique and beautiful in their soul that it doesn't match mine exactly. We're all completely unique, but then there's pieces of ourselves and of our family and of our cultures at a larger state that's bigger and more understood. So I do my best as someone who might look like the typical therapist. I do my best to connect with people on different levels and to expand my own understanding of where they're coming from. I think there's a lot of respect that can be gained towards someone who looks different than you and who believes different things than you by asking thoughtful and trying to find other words than respectful today, but I can't help but run with my theme of respect. So,
yeah, that's a good theme. That's what we all need to be doing more of, is showing respect towards each other, especially each other's differences, definitely.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so having kind of a natural curiosity really helps me better understand each person's personal journey and steps throughout their life. So that's my perspective.
It's wonderful. Thank you. And if the listeners would like to join us, again, our number is 800-893-9562. Again, that's 800-893-9562. And if you'd like to tune in to any previous shows, you can download us off of iTunes. Just type in Psych One-on-One. That's P-S-Y-C-H, the number one, O-N, and another number one. There's about 14 shows so far, so, and lots of different themes. I think there's probably just about every theme for everybody so far. So, and if you would like to send me any kind of information or suggestions or comments, please contact me at jgood8@verizon.net. That's jgood8@verizon.net. I'd love to hear from you, and maybe we can get a conversation going. So I'd like to now open it up for a little bit of the experiences you've had so far counseling. Just, you know, maybe some of the highlights that you've had so far.
That's a really big topic.
Yeah. True.
Very big.
Maybe. I'll start. While I mentioned that I have a background working in behavioral therapy, while we were doing our second year of graduate school, as therapists, you're required to participate in what's called a practicum, and it's just a supervised internship. And for me, I wanted to do something that was very different, and I wanted to expand my learning, so I worked with adults with substance abuse and a psychiatric illness. Typically, there was a few things happening in their lives, and there were some highlights, and there were some lowlights. Among the highlights was seeing those aha moments, and really supporting the individuals through their process. I gained a very new understanding and a very, again, respectful understanding for folks going through the steps of sobriety. Some of the highlights during the last 9 months of the internship were helping with the group. And the group therapy was such a inspirational process to see other individuals relate to each other and to see them support each other throughout the weeks and encouraging each other to share.
Okay, thank you, Hannah. Okay, and we had a caller from before. If you'd like to call again, sorry about that. That was, I'm the only one that can hear it, so I just wanted to let Hannah continue on speaking about... Yeah, that's okay. Thank you. Would anybody else like to share too?
My practicum site that I am currently, I'm still working there, is the Bart Methadone Clinic on the southeast side of LA, so it's right where South Central meets East LA. And man, dealing with heroin addiction for a number of years, are most of my client base older people now who have had a heroin habit in conjunction with either, you know, alcohol abuse or psychosis. It's huge. Their problems are huge. Their socioeconomic status is depleted, and that loads. It has an impact on the reasons that they use. It has an impact on what they are able to do for themselves away from heroin addiction, and what they are able to accomplish with limited funds. It's a really difficult population, and I have learned so much about perseverance, about your will to take care of yourself and to make the decision to not use anymore, and the power that one person can have in order to accomplish that goal. Under limited funding and limited circumstances, the power to just decide that, you know what, I am not going to use today, and that there is a methadone program that helps them not feel the pain that a heroin when you stop using can make you feel really horrible. So the methadone helps to limit those feelings. So in conjunction with methadone and counseling, I was able to see, and I'm still able to see, a lot of progress with people who have limited resources, and how empowering the self, one person's ability can be. It's really like inspiring. Sometimes I think I have problems, and man, I learn from these people that I have nothing in my way, and I can help them further their goals.
So you help strengthen each other almost.
Yeah. Most definitely, I learn from them just as much as I'm able to offer, and I think that's a part of it too. You know, that they see that I am gaining something from them is empowering to them to in a way that they didn't know that they needed, and that I didn't know that I was providing, and it was just kind of an organic thing that I picked up on along the way.
It's almost like when someone notices that they're really being heard and understood, that's part of the healing.
Yeah, because that's really, rare in some cases, you know? Mm-hmm. Everybody in the hood has an angle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's tough. Both of you working with very tough populations, and you're right, it's just, it's day by day, moment by moment, and you know, I'm sure that there's clients that walk away out of session and you're like just hoping and praying that they're going to end up making it another day.
Yeah.
There were days like that.
For sure.
Yeah. That's definitely, yeah. And then the self-care that we have to do as therapists is mandatory. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now because there are some days that we walk away and we're just drained. We have given 110% of our souls and listening and being present with that person when they're going through really tough situations in their lives.
Yeah. No, it's yeah. There's not enough coffee sometimes. Especially trying to get through the schoolwork and everything.
I know. Yeah, yeah. And for our listeners, if they don't know, the last year of going through grad school and going through practicum is just a horrible challenge. And all of us have come in with our Starbucks in tow, definitely. Most definitely. So Jasmine, can you tell us a little bit of your experiences so far doing therapy?
Of course. I did mention also previously that I do have a background also like Hannah in behavioral therapy. I also provide a group. I'm the group therapist leader for children with autism for social skills. And my practicum side, I had the honor of being an individual marriage and family therapist along with providing school therapy for children. So my experiences have been memorable. They've been a life changing experience. Just overall, just seeing how someone can come in with a very serious issue and then leave, you know, after a few sessions and, you know, terminate them because they don't need therapy anymore. It has been a very life changing experience for myself, and I also noticed that for them as well. So I definitely see the power of therapy, the power of, you know, having a connection and trying to help someone in the most desperate, you know, when they really need it. Mm-hmm. And so just trying to be empathetic, trying myself to be strong for them, you know, telling myself, hey, you know, you can do this, because also, as we all know here, having the stressors of school, work, sometimes even personal family, and, you know, trying to be strong for someone else when they need it. It's a challenge. So trying to be mindful of certain things and what I can give and what I can't give as well. Mm-hmm. So trying to make a connection with my clients has definitely been a very powerful and life-changing experience for me. And also with a lot of you that I've interacted with report the same thing. So it definitely has been something beautiful, I would say. So
definitely a gift.
Definitely.
It is. Yeah. Thank you, Jasmine.
Thank you.
Sean?
My time working in practicum has been very interesting. With my background in working with kids in a group home setting, definitely helped prepare me for my practicum involvement with Outreach Concern. They basically offer counseling and therapy to kids in the school system. And I specifically worked with kids in the high school setting in Orange County. And that was definitely an extremely rich experience. I look at all of the kids that I saw and seeing them transition from where they started and where they ended up at the end of therapy was definitely breathtaking. I had a handful of kids that I saw on a regular basis that struggled with suicide ideation. Mm-hmm. And that for me was probably one of the biggest obstacles that I dealt with. And definitely challenged me to really pay attention. I was extremely concerned about making sure that I covered all the bases so that none of the kids were at risk, and make sure that everybody was contacted, and that I got feedback from all of my supervisors. And in the end, I realized that across the board, one of the strongest things to really implement into any sort of therapy is just having a warm presence, mm-hmm. and really just being open to hearing whatever your patient or client has to say. It means the world to them, and just allowing them to process those thoughts, challenge them, and also give them encouragement and edification in the process definitely helped give them a better and stronger sense of themselves. And when they first started, a lot of the kids that I saw, they're very timid and embarrassed at what was going on in their lives. And they thought it was really just stupid and foolish. But as they started to open up, I definitely saw that them get comfortable with dealing with their issues and really just reaching out. And the more that they opened up, the stronger that they became.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Sean. Mm-hmm. I think we've got a common theme happening here. Definitely helping people at what could be the most incredible levels possible of helping other human beings. And it's just magnificent. And again, we've gone through our struggles, but we've definitely gotten stronger from all of these. So I encourage our listeners to do the same in whatever venue you decide to, you know, to perceive with. But it's a beautiful thing. As we're starting to wrap up, I want to hit up, where do you think that psychology as a field is going, being young practitioners?
Well, as a young practitioner, I myself would say that I think that psychology is becoming more culturally aware. I think that all of us are getting more, we're more educated in terms of background, and not only in terms of, racial background, but gender, economic. So I think that psychology is really growing in terms of that, becoming more aware, raising awareness to different issues that have been a taboo for many years. So I think that that's definitely a strength right now that I see as a young therapist myself, with all of you here.
I have concern for psychopharmacology, I guess, in so the therapist, like everybody's kind of taking a pill here and there and not really addressing issues, but using those things to maybe put a Band-Aid over feelings they should kind of connect with, work through, and deal with. So that's a concern of mine and something I'm going to keep a close eye on as a young therapist moving through the field. And, work internationally for me, international psychology is something that I take to heart. I mean, working with the children in Rwanda for post-traumatic stress disorder was a big deal for me, and I'm happy that the Chicago School was able to give me that experience. So that's going to be something I continue to do, and hope that I can bring what I learned internationally to my work here in the States.
And can you tell the listeners a little bit about the foundation that you're setting up?
Post-traumatic stress disorder for the children left behind by the genocide in Rwanda. It is loaded with the young children who need help with educational funding, and just knowing that someone is getting an education there and that someone it's really loaded for me emotionally. But there are a lot of children who were left behind by the genocide who really want an education and really want to succeed. And that makes me want to succeed. But I've decided to help them in the process of pursuing their educational dreams. And I plan to go back and help them have a garden at their school so they don't have to worry about food. Because that is a daily problem for children in Rwanda. So I hope through hopeandeducation.org I can continue to help children there, you know, be better human beings. And then that'll affect me being a better human being here, and then that'll affect the people that I work with here, and then it'll just trickle throughout the world in this magic fountain of being good to everybody. And
yes.
I'll stop there.
Definitely. So if the listeners are interested in contributing to your foundation,
hopeandeducation.org. Yeah, just go there. I talk on YouTube on that website, and I'm interesting.
Yes, you are. You're all beautifully interesting, so thank you.
I'd like to talk about the future. So what I'm excited about is that mental health services are going to become more accessible in the future with changes in legislative acts, changes in insurance. But what makes me hopeful that it's going to be meaningful is that our core values don't change. We're going to become, as therapists, more accessible, but that doesn't mean that our services are watered down. I'm excited that we get to continue this journey with ourselves as individuals and with our clients in a spirit of humbleness and honor and privilege to work with the individuals and families and couples that we get to work with. So keep an eye out on those laws and talk to your insurance companies about how to get support, because there's a lot of...
Especially after Obamacare.
Yeah, and I can tell you what, we've got a whole graduating class of folks who are really willing and eager to help support and carry people's burdens.
Thank you. I think that as a young therapist in the making, the reality is that there has been such a huge stigma and misperception of what true therapy is through the portrayal of media and television. There's definitely been the idea that all that therapists do is point the finger at others, or just
the mother,
right? Or compartmentalize the issues that are going on between a couple. And I think that really we're definitely entering into an era of confronting those issues. And I think that I look forward to confronting those issues and showing other people through my actions and the way that I present myself and help everybody realize what's going on in their families and grow. I look forward to seeing those misperceptions start to fade. So,
exactly. Thank you so much. And I really want to thank everybody who has joined me here today. Sean Lewis, Jasmine Ortiz, Bray Matta, Hannah Cardona, and for all of our wonderful students in our cohort that I am going to just absolutely miss because we are graduating on the 22nd and many of us are going separate ways because the amazing thing is we're in downtown Los Angeles, but there's probably a 100 to 200 mile radius of where all of our students are coming from. The farthest one's coming from San Diego every week. And we've loved that she's made the commitment. So, Danny, rah-rah to you, honey. So, yeah, this has been the end of a really long journey. This has been 5 years in a row for me, and it's been pretty incredible through all the changes that I've been through from being a single mom and from almost mothering almost everybody in my cohort of some form or another.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
It's definitely
you'd like to argue that one. Okay.
Thank you for having us on, Julianne.
Oh, thank you for being here. I love you guys. And I just, these are going to be incredible, incredible therapists. So watch out for them in the future and give them a call. And thank you so much to the Chicago School of Professional Psychology in downtown Los Angeles and all of our wonderful, wonderful professors that have enriched our lives. And thank you so much. If you want to contact me by email, it's jgoode8@verizon.net. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Join us next week. This has been Julianne Good with Psych 101. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye now.